This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Road to Royalty. An absolutely perfect Sunday afternoon here in downtown Davenport as the Quad Cities River Bandits wrap up their six-game series against the Peoria Chiefs, the High A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Welcome into the John O'Donnell Press Box at Modern Woodman Park. Kyle Kercheval, thrilled to have you on Bally Sports Live, MILB TV, and of course at riverbandits.com. However you're choosing to tune in today, we're so glad you're here for this series finale between the Bandits and the Chiefs in Game 21 of Quad City's 2025 season. Well, the Bandits had a chance to win this series with a victory yesterday, and it looked like they were going to get it. Quad Cities took a 1-0 lead into the top of the ninth inning, but Peoria not only tied the game to push it to extras, they won the game, outscoring Quad Cities 1-0 in the 10th to take the victory 2-1. And as a result, Quad Cities needs this series finale today, and they need the win today to go ahead and actually win this six-game series before hitting the road for 2 weeks in Great Lakes and Lake County. Before we officially fire up the River Bandits pregame show, we're going to start today's broadcast with this week's edition of the Royals Minor League Report. We've got news, notes, highlights, everything you need to know about all four Royals full season minor league affiliates. So, without further ado, I send it to Warner Park in the voice of the Omaha Storm Chasers, Nicholas Batters.
This is the Royals Minor League Report, presented by Raising Royals.
Episode 100 of the Royals Minor League Report. Can you believe it? Hi, I'm the voice of the Omaha Storm Chasers, Nick Batters. And before we recap Omaha's week, I wanted to take a moment to thank all of our loyal listeners for tuning into this minor league recap every week. Jake Eisenberg got this off the ground in 2021 with myself, Kyle Kercheval, and John Kosis. And I'm happy that we've been able to continue this now for a fifth season with Kyle, John, and Sean Mernon. Here's to 100 more.
Triple A Omaha.
Now, it's been a tough week for the Omaha Storm Chasers, who have dropped five straight on the road to the Toledo Mudhens at Fifth Third Field. Easily the highlight of the series has been infielder Dustin Dickerson. Called up to Omaha last week after just seven AA games, Dickerson started his AAA career 0-for-8, but he opened this week in Toledo 10-for-16 to the plate. With two doubles and a team-leading four runs batted in, Dustin had multiple hits in each of the first four games of this series. It's also been an encouraging week of the plate for Tyler Gentry, who started the season slow, but he's got 5-for-13 against Toledo with four doubles. And Nick Lofton's walk rate continues to boggle the mind. He's drawn 26 walks in 20 games this year with just 11 strikeouts. He leads the Miners in both walks and walks per strikeout. After Sunday's series finale, the Storm Chasers return home for six games with the Indianapolis Indians. For the Omaha Storm Chasers, I'm Nick Batters.
Double A Northwest Arkansas.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals welcomed in the Tulsa Drillers for a six-game series in Springdale. The second meeting of the season between the two teams after the Nats swept the season opening three-game set in Tulsa. NWA started off the series with their fourth straight win against the Drillers thanks to a six-run sixth inning in a 9-7 win. The Drillers took the next two games and the series lead despite the Naturals opening up the scoring with back-to-back homers in their 7-2 loss Wednesday. In the second, Gavin Cross led off with a solo blast and Carter Jensen followed a similar pass. path on the very next pitch. First pitch to Jensen. Jensen hits it a mile to right field. Don't even bother. That's up and out. Back-to-back jacks in the second inning, and Northwest Arkansas has taken a 2-0 lead on Carter Jensen's second home run of the season. Another loss, 4-2 Thursday, gave way to a Friday win with Henry Williams continuing his hot start. The righty went a team-high 7 innings while holding the Drillers to 3 runs on 6 hits, striking out 7 in a quality start. Javier Vaz, who returned after beginning the season on the IL, had 3 hits in the 8-4 win. The Nats took the lead Saturday in the first when Peyton Wilson doubled, and with one out, Jack Caglione did the same to make it a 1-0 game. The score stayed that way until rain rolled in during the bottom of the fourth, suspending the contest. That leaves us with a doubleheader Sunday to close out the series, beginning with the resumption of Saturday's game, 1-0 Naturals in the bottom of the fourth with a runner on first and 2 outs. After the two teams complete the 9-inning affair, they'll play a 7-inning game to close out the series before NWA hits the road to face the Springfield Cardinals in Missouri starting Tuesday for the first time this season. At Arvest Ballpark with the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, I'm Sean Mernon.
High A Quad Cities.
After sweeping Peoria on opening weekend, the Quad Cities River Bandits have enjoyed even more success against their division rivals, taking 3 of their first 5 against the Cardinals affiliate. The series has treated Modern Woodman Park to yet another showcase on the mound, as the Bandits picked up their Midwest League leading 5th shutout win Thursday and have held the Chiefs to 14 runs and a high A-low 149 batting average during the set. Once again, the starting rotation has been phenomenal with its minor league best 172 ERA and .91 whip. While Drew Beam and Logan Martin also turned in quality starts this week, Hunter Patterson became the first River Bandit to work into the 7th inning, tossing 6 2/3 scoreless frames in the 5-0 win Thursday. The lefty now leads the Midwest League with a minuscule .39 ERA, having allowed just 1 earned run in 23 1/3 innings. At the plate, the Bandits' bats have certainly started to warm up and exploded for a season-high 13 hits in a 13-4 win Friday. While 4 batters logged multi-RBI nights, including the season's 6th for Callan Moss, it was Daniel Vasquez who helped set the table with a career first. Here comes the 0-1. That's punched through the right side, a base hit. How about a 5-hit game for Daniel Vasquez? Hernandez scoots in with Vasquez's second RBI, and the Bandits lead 13-0. Reaching safely in all 6 plate appearances, Vasquez joins Jared Dickey, Nick Lofton, and Michael Massey as the only River Bandits to record a 5-hit game during the club's history as a Royals affiliate. Next up, Quad Cities kicks off a 2-week road trip through the Eastern Division with a 6-game set against Great Lakes beginning on Tuesday in Midland, Michigan. With the Quad Cities River Bandits, I'm Kyle Kercheval.
Single A Columbia.
The Fireflies started this homestand on a tear, taking the first 4 games against the Carolina Mudcats. Columbia's bats have remained the focal point of the team, and the offense has scored 10 or more runs in 3 of the first 5 games against Carolina this week. The team has a .270 average this year, which is good for the second best mark in the Carolina League. Saturday's 4th inning best showed the team's fight this season. After giving up 8 runs in the top of the frame, the Fireflies took advantage of 6 walks and a couple of clutch hits to set up left fielder Brennan McNair.
Break-even pitch. McNair chops it towards third, and it's through! That scores Acosta. Ramirez comes around, and Columbia takes the lead. It's 10-9. 16 runs have scored in the 4th inning, and we aren't finished yet.
After the strong start to the week, Columbia is in first place in the South Division and welcomes the Hickory Crawdads to Segra Park to complete a 12-game homestand. From Columbia, I'm John Kosas.
This has been the Royals Minor League Report, presented by Raising Royals. Follow Raising Royals, the official account of Royals player development, on X, Instagram, and TikTok for highlights, profiles, and more.
With that, we welcome you back to Modern Woodman Park, the home of the Royals High A affiliate, the Quad Cities River Bandits. We're just about to get started with this series finale against the Peoria Chiefs. The High A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Well, as I was mentioning at the top of the broadcast, it is truly a beautiful day for baseball. There is hardly a cloud in the sky. Temperatures are in the mid to upper 60s, and it should be a really fun finish to the Bandits' second homestand of the year and their last until May 13th. As Quad Cities is on the road both next week and in the first full week of May, taking on the Great Lakes Loons in Midland, Michigan, and then the Lake County Captains in Eastlake, Ohio. So an opportunity for the River Bandits faithful to see their team one more time here in the month of April, and they get to do it with some beautiful weather. Quad Cities losers in the ball game yesterday, as we noted. 2-1, the final in that one. The Bandits, for the second straight night, were just a couple of outs away from picking up what would have been their sixth shutout win of the year. Of course, the five the Bandits have is tied with Worcester for the most in minor league baseball this year, and it's just another data point for Quad Cities pitching staff, which has been truly one of the best in all of MILB, especially in the Midwest League. Let's go ahead and just turn the page right to this series finale and get to the starting lineups for both Peoria and Quad Cities. First, for the visiting Chiefs, again, the St. Louis Cardinals High A affiliate. They entered the ballgame today 6-13. That's last, or rather 6-13. I beg your pardon. 6-13, last in the Midwest League West Division. They are 4-7 on the road here in 2025. They're managed by Roberto Espinosa, and their lineup card looks like this. Leading off, it's the second baseman, Trey Richardson. Ryan Campos will hit second and do the catching. And then batting third, it's the center fielder, Zach Levinson. Joshua Baez will bat cleanup. He is the designated hitter. Juan Bincho bats fifth and plays right field. And batting sixth, it's the shortstop, Miguel Villarroel. Braden Joubert hits seventh and plays first base. Trey Page is across the way at third, batting eighth. And batting ninth, it's the left fielder, Bryce Madryn. On the mound for Peoria, their starter is the 22-year-old righty Darlene Saladin, who is making his fourth start of the year and his second start this series against Quad Cities after taking the loss in the opener Tuesday. Saladin really struggled. He went just three innings and gave up seven runs on 10 hits. Those are both season highs. He also matched his season high with three walks and struck out three. So Saladin looking to turn the page in what will be the right-hander's sixth career start against Quad Cities, going back to last year. Now, here's the starting lineup for the Quad Cities River Bandits, the High A affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. They are managed by Jesus Asuaje, who is still away from the team, so the acting skipper today is the Bandits' assistant hitting coach, Kyle McKinnon. He has held the lineup card all week in that third base dugout. The Bandits are a Midwest League West best, 13-6. They're 6-5 here at home, and as I mentioned, they need just a win today to secure a win of this six-game series. Leading off, it'll once again be the left fielder, Eric Torres. Sam Coolisingham, the switch-hitting second baseman, bats second. And then in the three spot, it's Callan Moss, who gets the start in right field and bats third for the first time this year. Carter Frederick will slide up to the cleanup spot and play right field. Carson Rockefort is to his right in center, batting fifth. And batting sixth, it's the shortstop, Austin Charles. Trevor Werner is at third base. He bats seventh. Kenyon Brown will hit eighth and serve as the DH after recording three hits in the game yesterday. And batting ninth, it's the Quad Cities catcher, Omar Hernandez. On the mound for the River Bandits, it's the Royals' number 18 prospect, the 21-year-old righty Felix Aronde, who, like Saladin, started in the series opener on Tuesday, but his night went a little bit better than Darlene's. Aronde earned his first high A win, giving up three runs in five innings on four hits, one walk, and a season-high six strikeouts. Felix is one of the newest members to this Bandits rotation, and he has fit in seamlessly. He is 1-0 with a 2.20 ERA in four appearances and three 2025 starts. We're going to go ahead and close down the River Bandits pregame show. When we come back, we'll get this series finale started. It's Quad Cities in Peoria on a Sunday afternoon in sunny Davenport. Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodmen Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodmen Park box office or visit riverbandits.com. Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodmen Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Baseball is back on the air. It's a Sunday afternoon in the Quad Cities as the Bandits wrap up their six-game series against the Peoria Chiefs, the High A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Welcome back into the John O'Donnell Press Box, everybody. Kyle Kirchival joining you from the Iowa side of the river as Felix Aronde gets set for his fourth start of the year and his second start this series. As I was noting, Felix got off to a good start this week. On Tuesday, he earned the win, his first at the High A level, giving up three runs in five innings of work with a season-high six strikeouts. He'll face Trey Richardson, Ryan Campos, and Zach Levinson. They're the top third of the Chiefs' order today. Bandits going for a win to take 4 of 6 against the Chiefs and nail down a second straight six-game series W. Peoria looking to force a split and improve to 7-13 here in 2025. First pitch temperature today should clock in at 66 degrees with sunny skies and just a handful of clouds over the Illinois side of the river. It is a picture-perfect day here in the Quad Cities, and in terms of the wind, there's hardly anything to worry about. When there's been a breeze, it's been blowing in from right, but at this time, the flag in left field is completely limp next to the video board. So Trey Richardson's in the batter's box, ready to get us going. Felix Aronde pitches from the third base side of the rubber out of the windup. First pitch of the day on the way, and it's taken for strike one at 1:03 Central Time. Aronde, 21 years old, a native of Santa Clara, Cuba. The 0-1 pitch. At the knees, a called strike two. It's a fastball at 93. Robert Bonet is calling the balls and strikes for this series finale while his partner Alan Bryan patrols the base paths. We've had this same crew all series. 0-2 on the way. Richardson chops it on the ground, foul down the third baseline. It rolls behind Quad City's bullpen. Aronde, 6'3", 185 pounds. Born in Cuba, but now resides in the Dominican Republic. Santo Domingo, Felix's home these days. He wears number 41 in his first season as a River Bandit, and today a gold 41 on the back of his home-wide jersey. Peoria in the alternate baby blues to round out the week. Another 0-2. Low and outside. One ball, two strikes on Trey Richardson. Trey's hitting 207 in his first nine games this year with no home runs and three driven in. He is 2-for-12 in the series. The 1-2. Fly ball, right field. Into the alley goes Carter Frederick. And with time, he makes the catch to retire the Chiefs' second baseman for out number one. To Frederick's right, it's center fielder Carson Rockefort. Eric Torres rounds out the outfield in left. On the infield, from left to right, Werner's at third, Charles at short, Kulasingham at second, Moss at first, Omar Hernandez is the catcher. Now the Chiefs catcher, Ryan Campos, at the plate. He'll offer it the first pitch, and sky a lazy fly ball to left field. Eric Torres grabs it to his left, and it's a quick out number two for Aronde. Well, the strikeout numbers have not been overwhelming for Felix to start the year, but he's averaging just under one per inning. He sits at 9.6 strikeouts per nine in his minor league career, which dates back to 2021. So two outs, bases empty for Zach Levinson, and a top 30 Cardinals prospect takes strike one. Levinson ranked number 28 in the Cardinals system per MLB pipeline. 0-1. Low and outside with a breaking ball. 1-1. Three pitch mix for Felix. A low to mid 90s fastball, a low 80s slider, and a split finger changeup, which is probably his best pitch. 1-1. Fastball, outer half, a called strike two. The heater across at 93. And Aronde now has Levinson in a two-strike hole. Here comes the pitch. Skips in the dirt. Two balls, two strikes. Omar Hernandez getting the start behind the plate as Quad City's catcher today, doing so for the ninth time this season. He's been the catcher in all nine games he's played for the Bandits in 2025. Felix with the 2-2. Fastball in the air to left field. Well struck. Torres is back onto the warning track, and he'll reach up at the wall to make the catch and end the inning. Three straight fly balls induced by Felix Aronde. Peoria goes down in order, and it's half of the first. And out to the hill goes Darlene Saladin. He'll face Eric Torres, Sam Kulasingham, and Callan Moss in the bottom of the first. We're scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Hey fans, catch the excitement of minor league baseball with the Bally Sports Live app. Watch your favorite team or scout the top prospects every game live all season long.
Strike three, you're out.
Plus, stream the Savannah Bananas and emerging fight sports to keep the action going. Best of all, it's totally free, no credit card required. Download the Bally Sports Live app today on your phone or connected device.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag road to royalty. River Bandits turn to hit for the first time this afternoon. Eric Torres, Sam Kulasingham, and Callan Moss do up against 22-year-old Darlene Saladin, making his 15th career start for Peoria, his fourth this year, and his second this week against the River Bandits. First pitch to Eric Torres is chopped up the middle. Second baseman Richardson has it. Throw across the body is off target. Jobert tried to swipe a tag on Torres as he ran by, but he missed. And that is going to go down as an infield hit for the Bandits left fielder. So after Eric had a season-best 10-game hit streak snapped yesterday, he swings at the very first pitch he sees today and winds up with an infield knock. Torres now with 18 hits this season. So quickly a man aboard for Sam Kulasingham. And the switch hitting second baseman takes a strike on the low outside corner. Saladin 0-1 with a 7.84 ERA in three starts this year. The 0-1 pitch, Torres takes off and Kulasingham drives it to left center field, slicing away from Levitson in the alley. It's the left fielder Madrin who makes the catch just in front of the warning track, and Torres retreats back to first base. Not a bad swing from Kulasingham. Got a hanging breaking ball, went the other way with it, but it hangs up in the air for the first out. Well, the 7.84 ERA for Saladin, very much inflated by his poor start Tuesday, as he'll now go right on right against Callan Moss, who's making his season debut in the three spot of the order. Throw over to first, back with a head first dive is Torres. In Saladin's first two starts of the year, he gave up just two earned runs in 7 1/3 innings. He gave up 7 earned runs in 3 frames against the Bandits on Tuesday, including a season-high 10 hits. The pitch. Check swing foul over by the first base dugout, and it's 0-1. McCallan is one of the few River Bandits not to get a hit against Saladin on Tuesday. 0-1. Runner takes off again. Pitches high. Throw to second from Campos is in time. The tag applied by Richardson. And Eric Torres is caught stealing for the fourth time in 5 attempts to start the year. So Ryan Campos takes care of Torres. There are now 2 outs on the board and the base is clear. The 1-1 to Moss. Breaking ball just outside. It is 2-1. The rest of the Chiefs defense has Levinson in center, Madrin in left, Cho in right. Saladin set to deliver the 2-1. It's low. 3-1. Trey Page is at third. Miguel Villarroel at short. Trey Richardson at second. Braden Jobert at first. And the aforementioned Ryan Campos doing the catching. 3-1 pitch. Callan takes a fastball on the outer half for strike 2. And the count runs full. Callan is batting .218 in his first season as a River Bandit. He has reached safely in 10 consecutive games entering play today. Payoff pitch. Slapped foul. Look out down the first baseline. It's Daniel Vasquez playing first base coach today on his day off. Callan is 4-for-13 in this series with 5 of his season's 17 RBIs. That's a top 5 mark in the league. 3-2 again. Low and outside, ball 4. Saladin issues a 2-out free pass to Callan Moss, and the Bandits will keep the inning going for Carter Frederick. Moss has done a good job mixing walks into his game. With that free pass, his 10th of the season, he becomes one of just 3 River Bandits to have double-digit walks in 2025. So right on right, Saladin back into the stretch to face the Bandits' right fielder, Carter Frederick. First pitch. Breaking ball, clips the outer half. It's strike 1. Saladin with a 4-pitch mix, a fastball, a slider, a curveball, and a changeup. And like Aronde, his best pitch probably is that changeup. The 0-1. Another breaking ball and another called strike. That one at 80 miles an hour right at the base of the zone. And Frederick's behind 0-2. Carter is also a first-year River Bandit. Bats .236 with no homers and 7 driven in. 2-strike pitch on the way. It's tapped foul over by the on-deck circle. Carson Rockeford will pick it up and flip it to the bat boy. Now, just like Moss, Frederick is working on a pretty decent on-base streak. He's reached safely in 9 in a row. He's got three extra base hits, including a pair of doubles during that stretch. He is 3-for-11 this week with an RBI and a couple of walks. Moss away from first. Saladin with the 0-2. Wave and a miss. Got him off the low inside corner. It's strike three. So Darlene Saladin punches out Carter Frederick to avoid the two-out walk threat. We go to the top of the second, and we're still scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000. After a scoreless first inning, the Chiefs are back to the plate against Felix Aranda. They'll have the middle third due up against the right-hander in Joshua Baez, Juan Bincho, and Miguel Villarroel. The wind has picked up a little bit, as it's been throughout the day, blowing in from right field, but still very comfortable temperatures out there, 66 degrees, and more short-sleeve shirts than sweatshirts, which has not happened too often here in the month of April. Right on right, first pitch to Baez is low and outside for ball one. Joshua's had a good series against Quad Cities. He's hitting over 330. Batting 5-for-14 with three doubles and two driven in this week. 1-1. Sliders left inside. It's two balls and one strike. Baez 1-for-3 with one of those doubles and a walk yesterday. He's got hits in each of his last four games. The pitch. Called strike. Low outside corner. Aranda gets it in with a fastball. Baez on the year. A 250 hitter with three doubles, a triple, no homers, and seven driven in. The pitch. A bit low on the fastball. It's 3-1. Aranda this year has dealt just seven walks in his first 17 in the third innings. Didn't strike anybody out in the first inning today, but retired the side in order. The pitch. That's just a bit low. The fastball missed for ball four. So right on cue, Baez draws a leadoff walk here in the second inning. And there's a man aboard for the left-handed hitter and the Chiefs right fielder, Juan Bincho. Talked about it yesterday. A native of South Korea, the first amateur Asia-born player to ever sign with the Cardinals. First pitch, sky down the left field line into the corner. Eric Torres now into foul territory, makes the catch right in front of the grounds gate, and he'll fire it back in towards the infield. So Aranda able to get Cho on just one pitch after the leadoff walk, and now his attention turns to Miguel Villarroel, who, like Joshua Baez, has had a good week at the plate. In a series where Peoria as a whole has struggled. Aranda out of the stretch from the third base side of the rubber. The pitch. Low and outside. The curveball missed. It's 1-0. Correction. That is the slider for Felix Aranda. Villarroel has the longest on base streak for Peoria in the works right now, having reached safely in a dozen consecutive games. Pickoff throw to first. Back safely is Baez. Villarroel is 4-for-13 this week. He's got a triple, couple of RBIs and a couple of walks mixed in there. Here's the pitch. Ground ball over to third. Werner's got it. He'll go to second for one. The turn to first is in time. Around the horn for a double play. It's the first one of those Quad Cities has had this week. And Felix Aranda gets the old 5-4-3 to help set down Peoria in the top of the second. We're scoreless through an inning and a half on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag road to royalty. Quad Cities turns its summer's 11th double play to help set down the Chiefs in the top of the second. And with the score still 0-0, oh hey, it's me. So glad I could show up on the broadcast on this Sunday. Why look at this beautiful view in the ballpark when you can look at me up here in the booth? Carson Rockefort leads off the bottom of the second inning against Saladin. First pitch, low and inside, ball one. It'll be Rockefort, Charles, and Werner to bat against the right-hander. Picked up a strikeout in the first inning. The pitch fouled into the screen, and the ball drifts down towards the home plate circle. Saladin gave up a couple of base runners in his first inning. A leadoff single to Eric Torres and a walk to Callan Moss, but neither came in to score. Torres was caught stealing second. 1-1. Swing and a miss. Rock chased in the dirt. It's a ball and two strikes. Bandit center fielder is the Royals' number 21 prospect per MLB Pipeline. It's been a quiet series for him. He's 2-for-13 this week, but one of his hits was a home run against Saladin on Tuesday. Third of the year for Rockefort. That mark leads the team. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball, grounded over to third, knocked down on a knee by Page, and he'll gather and throw to first for the out. But he was cheating in, even with three strikes, or rather two strikes, anticipating a bunt, I guess, and he was fortunate to be able to stop the ground ball there, playing as shallow as he was. So one down for the Bandits in the home half of the second, and here's Austin Charles for the first time today, the Quad Cities shortstop, another top 30 prospect. First pitch, hit foul over the first base side. Charles has played a mix of third and short for Quad Cities this year. 9 games at third and now 5 at the Keystone. Now it's the first baseman, Jobert, cheating in a bit. The pitch slapped back into the screen and it's 0-2. Charles is hitting .120 to start his tenure as a Bandit. He's got a couple of doubles and a triple, however, and his lone hit this week was that triple. 0-2. Fastball outside. One ball, two strikes. Charles is the number 15 prospect in the system per Pipeline. Saladin delivers. Breaking ball grounded weakly over to short. Villarroel's got it. He shuffles the feet, fires to first, and Charles is retired 6-3 on the ground out, and there are two away. So a good start to this inning for Saladin. He gets a couple of rather weakly hit ground balls. And he'll face now another right-handed hitter in Trevor Werner with two outs and the bases empty. Trevor also had a home run against Saladin on Tuesday. Werner's second of the year. First pitch, wave and a miss, strike one. It's been a good series for Trevor, whose bat is starting to come along. 4 for 16 this week with the homer, a double, and a walk. Average at 185 on the year. The pitch, that's clubbed to left field. Badgerin to his right, it bounces past him. It'll get to the wall. Extra bases for Trevor Werner. He pulls into second with a two-out double. Second two-bagger this week for Trevor Werner. Got a hanging breaking ball around the low inside corner and turned on it. Second hit of the game for Quad Cities and some two-out traffic for the best hitter for the Bandits in the game yesterday, Kenyon Brown. Great swing from Trevor Werner. You see it on Valley Sports Live and MILB TV again. Right on right, first pitch. Outside on the heater. Now, Quad Cities scored just one run yesterday. And they had just four total hits. Brown was responsible for three of those. All singles out of the nine hole. He hits eighth today and swings away 1-0. Skying it foul into the Party Plaza. It's the fifth time Kenyon Brown has hit eighth this year. He's a .216 hitter in his first 11 total games as a River Bandit. He is 6-4-11 this week. 1-1. Low and outside, 2-1. Great to see his bat coming around, especially considering the slow start. He opened the year just 2-for-26, but he's now 6 for his last 11, hitting .545 in the series against Peoria. Saladin's 2-1. Fastball outside, 3 balls and a strike. The 9-hole hitter, Omar Hernandez, is waiting in the on-deck circle, and then it's back to the top of the order in Eric Torres. Scoreless game in the bottom of the second. Trevor Werner stands at second for Quad Cities with two outs. Here's the 3-1 to Brown. Wave and a miss. Good breaking ball that fell off the end of the table. And Saladin has worked the count full. Now, Darlene's only strikeout of the game thus far came with two outs to retire the side in the first inning. You got Carter Frederick chasing at a pitch off the low inside corner. Let's see how he attacks Brown here. Payoff pitch. Breaking ball, called strike three, perfectly placed on the low outside corner. And once again, an inning-ending strikeout for Darlene Saladin. Bandits strand a man in scoring position after Werner's two-out double. We're off to the third, Quad Cities and Peoria scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodman Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Top of the third at Modern Woodman Park. Quad Cities and Peoria scoreless through the first two. Bandits are looking for one more win this week, which would help them claim the series. It would be a second consecutive six-game series win. Chiefs looking to split the set 3-3. Braden Chaubert leads off the top of the third inning, and Felix Aránde starts him with a strike. Breaking ball through the back door. It's 0-1. Three straight lefties make up the bottom third of Roberto Espinosa's lineup. The 0-1 could swing, but Jobert fouls it back into the screen for strike two. After Jobert, it's Trey Page and then Bryce Madryn. Chiefs have five left-handed hitters on their roster and four of them in the lineup today. The other is Ian Pietrus, who's injured. Obviously not on the active roster. 0-2 on the way from Aronde. High and outside, 1-2. Felix gave up a leadoff walk in the second inning, but with help from a double play ball, has faced the minimum through two frames. 1-2. Swing and a miss. There's Aronde's first strikeout. He got Jobert on the second time to chase that fastball up and away. And there's one away to start the top of the third. So one away, nobody on, and the aforementioned Page stepping in, playing in just his third game this week. The pitch outside for ball one. Trey is hitting 189 this season with a double and three driven in. 1-0. Outside, 2-0. Page is a native of Reading, Pennsylvania. 17th round pick by the Cardinals 2 years ago. 2-0. Lofted foul over the screen and out of play. 2-1. Now Page drafted out of Delaware State University. Played four seasons as a Hornet. The pitch. Called strike. Slider on the outer half, and it's 2-2. Then in 2023, he played for the Trenton Thunder in the MLB Draft League before officially being picked up by St. Louis. He was teammates with River Bandit Chris Brito there. 2-2 comes in. Got him chasing in the dirt. Strike three. Hernandez picks up the loose ball, throws down to Moss, and it's back-to-back K's officially now for Felix Aronde. He got Jobert chasing the high cheddar, and now he gets Page fishing in the dirt.
Next up for the Chiefs, left there with number one.
So two gone, nobody aboard for Bryce Madryn. Chiefs left fielder made his high A debut earlier this week. First pitch inside for ball one. He went 0-for in his Chiefs debut, but then picked up a single on Friday. 1-0. Wave and a miss. Lively fastball from Aronde again. It's a ball and a strike. Felix has been sitting 93-94 with that pitch. He delivers again. Swing and a miss. It's 1-2. Again, 94. Madryn couldn't catch up. Felix trying to make it another inning where he faces the minimum. Right-hander delivers. And it's high and away, taken for ball two. Fastball heavy approach against Madryn. 10th round pick by the Cardinals last year. 2-2. Got him swinging. Felix Aronde punches out the side. 1-2-3 in the top of the third inning. He leans heavily on that fastball and sets down Madryn on just four pitches. We go to the bottom of the third. The Bandits and Chiefs are still scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag road to royalty. Omar Hernandez will get things going for Quad Cities in the bottom of the fourth. Bandits and Chiefs scoreless to start this series finale. Darlene Saladin resumes his day as the first pitch is lined over to short on one hop. Villarroel plays it, throws to first, and gets Hernandez for the out. Off the bat, it looked like that one was ticketed for left center field, but it just had so much backspin on it. It floated in the air and then skipped off the dirt. Villarroel was ready to play it. So one pitch, one out to start the inning for Saladin. And it's back to the top of the order for Eric Torres. Right on right, first pitch, outside, ball one. Saladin thus far, 2 1/3 scoreless, a couple of strikeouts. He's thrown 21 of 31 pitches for a strike. 1-0. Down and inside, 2 balls, no strikes. Eric Torres picked up a single on the first pitch he saw in the first inning, but was later caught stealing. The 2-0. Outside, ball three. Or, yes, it is ball three. Despite having his 10-game hit streak come to an end yesterday, Torres still leads the Midwest League in hitting. The pitch. In there for strike one. Through 13 games, Torres is hitting .370 with an .879 OPS. Saladin delivers. It's a called strike two. Low outside corner with a fastball. And Torres steps out as it's 3 balls and 2 strikes. The first inning single makes Torres 4 for 15 this week. He's also walked 3 times. Saladin comes home. And the payoff pitch is skied down the right field line. It's going to push out of play into the Party Plaza. Young man there, ready for the souvenir. Wind is picked up a little bit again, blowing in from right field. Ballpark filling up nicely on this sunny Sunday afternoon. Long look in for Saladin. Pitch clock to 8 as he begins his windup. 3-2. High and tight, the breaking ball wasn't there. And Torres will reach safely for a second consecutive plate appearance. Second walk of the game issued by Saladin. And up to the dish comes Sam Kulasingham. Sam had a pretty good swing on a ball in the first inning, but flew out to Madryn. He's 2 for 18 this week. Throw over to first. Torres dives back. He and Daniel Vasquez always seem to make that play come down to the last couple of inches, but more often than not, they're able to get their fingers in. Here's the pitch. Way outside with a fastball. 1-0. Kulasingham hitting .219 to start the year. 3 doubles, a couple of triples, and 5 driven in. Getting the start at second base today, where he's most often been to open the year. 1-0. Fastball at the knee, strike one at 92 miles an hour. Chiefs and Bandits scoreless in the bottom of the third inning. This start reminiscent to the one we had yesterday. Bandits scored the game's first run in the bottom of the fourth, and it was one of just 3 total runs scored in the 10-inning contest. 1-1 is back up the middle past Saladin's glove into right center field. Torres will go first to third as Cho throws it to second. And there's the third hit of the game for Quad Cities. It's a one-out single for Sam Kulasingham. Well, talking about inches, Saladin nearly caught that. The line drive went back up the middle to Saladin's left, and if he had extended the glove just a little bit more, may have turned into a double play, and at the very least, 1 out. Here's the replay on Bally Sports Live. Khaled Moss now the batter for Quad Cities. First pitch swing, and he pokes it through the right side, a base hit. Torres scores, and the ball gets under Cho's glove in right field. Kulasingham takes the extra 90 feet up to third, and Moss scampers to second. It'll be an RBI single for Callen, and Quad Cities strikes first. 1-0 here in the third. Well, another day, another RBI
for Callan Moss. He is up to 18 on the season, 6 this series, and 15 in his last 11 games. You can understand why he's been hitting 4th and now 3rd throughout this series. Well, Peoria wants to have a mound visit. It's orchestrated by pitching coach Will Hawks, who's had a busy week. He's on his way back into the first base dugout after meeting with not only the battery, but the rest of the infield. So it should go down as a hit in an air for Callan. Picks up an RBI single, and then up to 3rd is Kulasingham. Up to 2nd is Moss on the E9. Carter Fredericks now the hitter. Shallow infield as he swings through the first pitch breaking ball and falls behind 0-1. That is the 19th error of the season for Peoria, and for Cho individually, his first. 0-1. Wave and a miss. Carter tied up on the breaking ball, and it's 0-2. Well, the Bandits, up until yesterday, were undefeated when they scored the game's first run. But after yesterday's loss, they're now 11-1. Still not bad. Here's the 0-2. Wave and a miss, strike 3. Fooled Carter 3 times on that breaking ball. And now the infield moves back for Peoria. 2 outs on the board. And Carson Rockeford coming to the plate with 2 away. That was the 3rd strikeout of the ball game for Saladin. Tripled up on his slider, and it worked to great effect. Rockeford grounded out to 3rd, his first time up. Right on left, Saladin delivers low, and it's ball 1 on Carson. Kulasingham's at 3rd, Moss at 2nd base. An opportunity for the Bandits to take a multi-run lead via some 2-out hitting. The 1-0. Outside, 2 balls, no strikes. This season, Quad Cities hits just 211 with runners in scoring position and 2 outs. But in this series, they're 17 for 56 with men in scoring position. That's an average of 303. Saladin's 2-0. It's tapped foul. The breaking ball gets underneath Campos' legs into the screen. Rockeford leads the Bandits with 8 extra base hits this year. I mentioned he's the team leader with 3 homers. And he's also driven in 8 runs, and most of this season has been spent at the top of the order for Rockeford, so he figures to get more RBI opportunities, hitting 5th. 2-1. Good cut, but the fastball's fouled straight back, and it's 2 balls and 2 strikes. Rockeford drove in 62 runs for the River Bandits last year. Trying to bring in 2 more at the very least with 2 outs. 2-2 pitch. Outside, the fastball missed, and it's 3-2. That actually may have been a changeup from Saladin that was nowhere close. Spun out of his hand and was well outside of the zone. 1-0 lead for Quad Cities in the bottom of the 3rd. Runners at 2nd and 3rd and 2 outs. Full count pitch to Carson Rockeford. Swing and a miss. Got him on strikes. Again, Saladin turns to the breaking ball. 4th strikeout in 3 innings of work for Saladin, but he does give up the game's first run. Callan Moss picks up another RBI, driving in Eric Torres with the 1-out single. We go to the 4th, 1-0 Quad Cities on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Hi, this is CeCe Sabathia. Join me in upstate New York Hall of Fame weekend in Cooperstown and enjoy unforgettable experiences full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 25th through July 28th to welcome the entire Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2025. Visit baseballhall.org today for the full schedule. Look forward to seeing you in Cooperstown.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, Wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
For the third time in four games, Callan Moss has given Quad Cities the first lead of the ball game. Today, his one-out RBI single plates Eric Torres in the bottom of the third, so Quad Cities starts the fourth with a 1-0 lead. Felix Aronde back to work. He faces Trey Richardson, and the Chiefs leadoff man takes a pitch low for ball one. Richardson, Campos, and Levinson do up in this inning. The right-hander's pitch, a bit low, two balls, no strikes. Aronde had a clean first trip through the Chiefs order, gave up just one walk, but faced the minimum with the help of three strikeouts and a double play ball. 2-0. Low and away, three balls, no strikes. Aronde got three fly balls in the first inning. Richardson's went to right field. 3-0. Off the plate, inside for ball four. So seemingly out of nowhere, a four-pitch walk issued to Trey Richardson, and the Chiefs immediately get that tying run on base. That felt even more out of the ordinary because Aronde comes into this inning after striking out the side 1-2-3 in the third. So he'll once again look for one of those double play balls. A man at first and no one out for the catcher and left-handed hitting Ryan Campos. First pitch, Richardson takes off, pitches inside, throw to second from Hernandez is perfect. Charles applies the tag and Richardson is nabbed trying to swipe second. That's the second time this week Hernandez has made a truly perfect throw down. All Charles had to do was drop the glove. So one out, base is empty for Campos as he takes a called strike. Nice job from Charles to get the tag down and get his lower extremities out of the way. That's the fifth caught stealing this year for Hernandez. 1-1. Grounded foul down the first baseline and Campos is behind 1-2. Both teams have now had a base runner caught stealing. Campos has taken a timeout. He's walking around the home plate circle. Foul ball must have caught a piece of him on its way out of the box. Gliding back and forth on each foot, trying to put weight on that right shoe. Robert Bonet has him reset the pitch clock as Campos is back in there. Aronde is 1-2. Low and inside, could not get him to chase the back foot breaking ball. 1-0 lead for Quad Cities. We're in the top of the fourth. Chiefs have yet to pick up a hit today. Here's Aronde's 2-2. Slapped foul over the third base side and out of play. Ryan Campos, fourth round pick by the Cardinals last year. He's played a lot of catcher this week and, in my amateur opinion, did a really nice job yesterday, especially late in the ball game. Here comes another 2-2. Low and inside on the breaking ball, full count. Campos is not very big, 5'7", 200 pounds. And as a result, he's not a huge goalie, so to speak, behind the plate. 3-2. Ground ball sharply hit past Werner into left field for a base hit. How big was that caught stealing now? Campos picks up his second hit of the series and is aboard with one out for Zach Levinson.
But Campos did a great job defensively yesterday, especially when Ricardo Velez and Michael Watson were pitching late game. Watson in particular was kind of wild in the 10th inning. There were several pitches that were way off target, and Campos had to lunge all over the place to make the catch, and he did so. Now Zach Levinson is ahead 1-0, takes a pitch low and outside. Levinson was in the game yesterday, got the start in left, today in center field. Last night went 1-for-5 with a single as Omar Hernandez is on his way off to the hill. Levinson, one of those guys who scouts think is probably a best or fits best in a corner outfield spot, but he's played mostly center for the Chiefs this year. He has played a little bit of left and a little bit of right. Fifth round pick by the Cardinals out of the University of Miami back in 2023. Some great ball players coming from that school. Think of Ryan Braun, Greg Vaughn, Pat Brunell, just to name a few. The pitch. That's low. Two balls, no strikes. Campos held over at first base. He's a perfect 3-for-3 trying to steal this year. He does not take off on the 2-0, and this is chopped off Levinson's foot, foul towards Trevor Werner. And now another Chief is hobbled. Campos tried to walk one off earlier. Now Levinson is just to the left of the home plate circle, trying to shake it off. I've said it once and I'll say it again. There are few things more painful in the game of baseball than fouling a ball off your foot. Sometimes you get lucky and you don't feel it. Other times it catches you on the ankle and you've got a bruise for the next 2 weeks. He's back in the box. Aronde behind in the count, 2-1. Here comes the pitch. Left it upstairs. Three balls and one strike. Aronde hasn't been quite as sharp in his second trip through the lineup thus far. Richardson and Campos both reached, but Richardson was caught stealing. Throw over to first, and Campos dives back. So it's just Ryan on with one out. Bandits up 1-0 in the top of the fourth inning. See if Aronde can get another one of those double play balls. The pitch. Fastball. Called strike. Base to the zone at 93. And it's a full count. There's some activity brewing in the River Bandits bullpen. Nobody's throwing just yet, but guys have gotten up and are starting to mill about. 3-2 pitch. Up and in. Ball four. Aronde loses him. And he issues his second walk of the inning. It pushes Campos, the game-tying run, into scoring position. And Levinson, with his third walk of the series, is down to first base with one out. And it looks like it's going to be Clayton Mortensen making his first River Bandits mound visit this year. He is the River Bandits assistant pitching coach, who is now in his second stint coaching in the Royals system. But over the last couple of seasons, Morty was with the Chicago Cubs, and just a couple years ago was one of the pitching coaches for High A South Bend. So he's got some experience with the Midwest League as a coach. He's also got some Midwest League experience as a player and did so as a member of the Swing of the Quad Cities. He was a Cardinals draft pick back in 2007, and he made 10 appearances with Quad Cities that year. That was the last season for the Swing of the Quad Cities. And it was back to the River Bandits. So Morty's back in that dugout, and now here's Joshua Baez with two on and one out. First pitch is high and inside. It's 1-0. Of course, Mortensen, probably a name baseball fans are familiar with, at least in some way, shape, or form. Of course, a first-round pick back in the day, but also a pretty decent major league career. 1-0 is torched, but foul behind the Bandits bullpen down into the Diamond Ag cornfield deck. It's 1-1 on Baez. 5 years in the big leagues for Clayton Morenson. Pitched for the Red Sox, for the Athletics, the Rockies, and the Cardinals. Baez walked his first time up. Arunde checks the lead runner at second. Now the 1-1. Check swing. Pitch was away. And it's a swinging strike called on the appeal by Alan Bryan. 1-2 on Joshua Baez. Baez has some really good pop, but he will strike out. 17 in 16 games to open the year. That said, he's had a great week in Quad Cities. His time's called by Baez. He'll step out. Arunde's had to labor a little bit this inning. His pitch count is now up over 50 through 3 1/3. And of the four base runners he's given up today, three of them have reached in this inning. Felix is ready. 1-2. Low on the fastball. Two balls, two strikes. Over the last few at-bats, we've seen Arunde working low in the zone with that fastball, trying to get somebody to hit one on the ground, but the Chiefs have not done so just yet. 2-2. There's a ground ball. It's to the shortstop. Fielded by Charles. Flipped to Sam for one. On to first. Double play. Second of the game for Quad Cities, and just what the doctor ordered. Very nice work from Felix Arunde. He works around two base runners in the top of the fourth, and the Bandits remain ahead 1-0.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodman Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Felix Arunde had to deal with some traffic in the top of the fourth inning, but he gets his second double play of the ball game, and the Bandits are back to the plate in their half of the fourth. Austin Charles, Trevor Warner, Canyon Brown to face Darlene Saladin. Starter for the Chiefs has given up the game's lone run through three innings with four strikeouts. First pitch to Charles, inside for ball one. Austin, a ground ball to his counterpart. It's short back in the second inning. Here's the pitch. Low one outside. Two balls, no strikes. Quad Cities had a man warming up in the last half inning in case Arunde needed some help, but that relief has since sat down. 2-0. Swing and a miss. Two balls, one strike on AC. And now it's Peoria with some action in its bullpen. Saladin up over 50 pitches through three-plus innings. Here comes the 2-1. Charles rips it to short, and it's caught in the air by Villarroel. 1-0-1 off the bat. Charles was on top of that fastball, but hit it to the wrong place at the wrong time. An unfortunate first out for Quad Cities to start the Bandits' half of the fourth. And up comes Trevor Werner. Looks like it's now double barrel action in the Chiefs' bullpen. Two guys starting to toss. Here's the first pitch. Werner takes a breaking ball for strike one. It dips into the inside half of the zone. Five total hits in this game, four for the Bandits. Werner had one of those with a double in the second. Next pitch. Cut on and miss. Good slider. And it's 0-2. Warner is now 5 for 17 in this series. And three of those five hits have gone for extra bases. He's got a home run and a double against Saladin this week, going back to Tuesday. Saladin in the driver's seat, though, here. 0-2. Breaking ball, chopped foul, and over by the third base dugout. Everybody good over there? Camera operators have been busy dodging baseballs this week. An occupational hazard. They're the best in the business for a reason. Trevor Warner's back in the box, still battling 0-2. Saladin with a fresh baseball. Out of the windup, the pitch. Got him swinging. Strike three again on the breaking ball. Fifth K for Darlene Saladin. Three of his last four outs have come by the K. And with two gone, here is Canyon Brown for the second time. He was the second Saladin strikeout victim. He went down looking in the second. Now throwing has resumed in the River Bandits bullpen. It looks like Tommy Molsky is the man getting loose. First pitch. Brown takes low for ball one. Now Canyon, as we've talked about a couple of times on this broadcast, an alum of North Carolina A&T. The pitch. Low and outside, two balls, no strikes. So he and Trevor Warner, both Aggies in their college days. Time called. Catcher Ryan Campos wants to talk things over. As Brown starts to heat up, we're starting to see how he looked during his last season as an Aggie. And before the Royals drafted him, he put together a terrific offensive season in college. Hit .310 with a .906 OPS over 53 games. And while his arm and his defensive abilities have certainly been on display to start the year, the bat is now starting to catch up. And of course, it's very understandable considering Kenyon's playing in just his 15th career minor league game. And his last 11 have been in Quad Cities. Back to action we go, the 2-0. There's the strike on the low outside corner. He did get a chance to play in three games with single-A Columbia at the end of last year, but went 0-for-9, so he didn't get his first pro hit until this season. 2-1. Breaking ball, inner half, a called strike two. Quad Cities, though, with three really good options, and Brown, Brito, and Hernandez behind the plate. Jesus Asuaje comfortable throwing anyone out there on any given day. Bandits up 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth. Two outs, nobody on. 2-2 from Saladin. Is a breaking ball just fouled away. Brown, I guess, got a piece somewhere as it dribbled to the left of home plate. And we'll do it again. Both teams with right-handers in the bullpen. Saladin now up over 60 pitches. 2-2 again. Wave and a miss. Strike three. Again, he sets down Quad Cities with one of those breaking balls. And Saladin is now settled in. He's retired five in a row, including four of his day's six strikeouts. We go to the fifth here at Modern Woman Park. It's still Quad Cities with a 1-0 lead over Peoria.
Hey fans, catch the excitement of minor league baseball with the Bally Sports Live app. Watch your favorite team or scout the top prospects every game live all season long.
Strike three! You're out!
Plus, stream the Savannah Bananas and emerging fight sports to keep the action going. Best of all, it's totally free. No credit card required. Download the Bally Sports Live app today on your phone or connected device.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Road to Royalty.
Tommy Molsky is going to come into the ball game for Quad Cities. The right-hander relieves the starter Felix Aronde after he went four innings, did not allow a run, worked around a hit, three walks, and struck out three. Molsky gets Juan Bincho, Miguel Villarroel, and Braden Jobert to start the away half of the fifth inning. First pitch missed outside for ball one. Quad Cities has a 1-0 lead. It's an advantage they had from the fourth inning until the top of the ninth inning yesterday. Here's the pitch. Slapped foul, out of play on the left side. It's 1-1. With Aronde's departure, that ends a string of 14 consecutive Riverbanded starts of five or more innings. Aronde goes four today. The pitch. Just inside. The breaking ball was close, but it's 2-1 on Juan Bincho. Four innings for Aronde, four really good innings, and as a result, he's lowered his ERA to 1.77. 2-1. Called strike, fastball in the low inside corner, it's 2-2. Not too bad for a 21-year-old in his first season in high A. Molsky delivers. Check swing, did he go? Pitch was inside the appeal. It's a swinging strike three. Alan Bryan says he went around. And Molsky starts his afternoon with a punch out. Nice work from Omar Hernandez to initiate the appeal. Robert Bonet was content with that being a ball, but Omar said, no, we got to ask for that. So now Miguel Villarroel, he'll chase a slider low and outside. It's strike one. This is the sixth appearance of the season for Tommy. He is 0-1 with a 6.75 earned run average. Here's his pitch. Low and away. This time Miguel lays off, and it's 1-1. Chiefs have hit into two double plays today. Of course, both against Felix Aronde. Villarroel hit into the first one. It was back in the second inning. 1-1. Pushed foul over the screen and out of play behind home. One ball, two strikes. Tommy pitching against Peoria for the third time this season and for the second time this week, after throwing two scoreless innings of relief on Tuesday. 1-2. Just low. That was a really good spot for, I think, Molsky's changeup. Kyle McKinnon, the acting Bandits manager, asking Robert Bonet where it missed. I think he said it was a bit low. 2-2. That's strike three. Low outside corner and a beauty. Same pitch, different spot for Tommy Molsky. Back-to-back strikeouts to begin his Sunday. That's now eight strikeouts and seven in a third innings for Tommy this year. Braden Jobert now the hitter. First pitch. Chopped over to second base. Sam Kulasingham's got it. Underhand flip to first is in time. And that's a cool 1-2-3 inning from Tommy Molsky. A couple of K's and a weak ground ball. Just like that, Quad Cities is back to the plate for the bottom of the fifth. 1-0 River Bandits on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931. But it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000. bottom of the fifth at Modern Woodman Park. Quad Cities with a 1-0 lead halfway through this series finale. Bandits and Chiefs meeting for the final time this week and for the final time until June. Omar Hernandez to lead off the inning against a new Peoria pitcher. It's right-hander Hunter Hayes who offers a bit low and outside. Hernandez squared to bunt but pulled back, so it's ball one. Both starters now officially done after four innings of work, and both were very solid. 1-0. Called strike, low outside corner. Again, Hernandez was flirting with the bunt. Saladin gave up one run in his four innings. Four hits, two walks. He struck out a current game-high six. 1-1. Wave and a miss. Swinging away, Hernandez could not connect on the breaking ball, and it's 1-2. Now, just like Molski, Hayes pitched earlier this week. We saw him on Wednesday. Through an inning and a third scoreless for the Chiefs to lock down Peoria's first win of the week. That was a 5-1 final. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Hernandez again fooled with the breaking ball. And the strikeouts are starting to pile up a bit now for Quad Cities. Of the last six men they've brought up, five have gone down swinging. So good start to the afternoon for Hayes. It's back to the top of Quad City's order. And Eric Torres, who's 1-for-1 with a walk. First pitch. Outside, ball one. Hayes, a right-hander, 24 years old, from California. 16th round pick by the Cardinals back in 2022 out of the University of the Pacific. 1-0. Tapped foul behind home, a ball and a strike. Hayes got off to a rough start this year, but has settled in as the games have continued to be played. 0-1 with a 7.04 ERA, but he's given up just one run in his last two appearances. The pitch. Fastball just low and outside. It's 2-1 on Torres. Eric with a single in the first, his walk in the third. He has scored the game's only run thus far. Callan Moss drove him in that third inning. The pitch. Ground ball over to short right at Villarroel. Routine play for him. The throw across the diamond is in plenty of time. And it's back-to-back outs to start the inning for Hunter Hayes. He wears number 32 for Peoria. Stands at 6'2", 194 pounds. And is pitching in the Midwest League for the second season. Sam Kulasingham now the batter for Quad Cities. Switch hitter, of course, will bat left-handed against the righty. Third baseman Page is cheating in. The pitch. Check swing. It was low. And on the appeal, it's confirmed ball one. Most of last season for Hunter was spent in single-A Palm Beach, where he was dominant. A 150 ERA and 15 relief appearances. But he struggled when he got to Peoria. The pitch. Swing and a miss. It's 1-1. For the Chiefs, a 689 ERA, but he had 20 strikeouts in 15 and two-thirds, which is giving up too many hits. Long red sleeves on for the right-hander. The pitch. Curveball. Sails outside. It's 2-1. Callan Moss waits on deck. Two outs. Nobody aboard in the bottom of the fifth. Bandits up 1-0. Hayes turns and fires. Fastball is inside. It's 3-1. Well, the pitch count for Saladin got up to 65. Felix Aranda to 55, so neither starter really pushed their limits in terms of fatigue today, at least we would assume. 3-1 pitch. Swing and a miss. A little changeup off the outer half, and it's three balls, two strikes. But on a Sunday, sometimes you'll see that, especially for Saladin and Aranda, guys who started earlier this week, so now it's more important to get the bullpen guys some more frames. Payoff pitch. Got him on strikes, a swing and a miss on that curveball. Good pitching from Hunter Hayes and Tommy Molski. They cruise through a scoreless fifth inning, and the Bandits take their 1-0 lead to the sixth. You're listening to Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Road to Royalty. Top of the sixth at Modern Woman Park. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon here in the Quad Cities, and wherever you're tuned in from, we hope you're having a gorgeous weekend as well. Bandits up 1-0, and it's the Chiefs back to the plate to face Tommy Molsky, who absolutely cruised through his first inning of work. Through 11 pitches, 7 went for a strike, and 2 of his 3 outs were K's. First pitch to Trey Page. Low and outside on the slider. Figured to see a decent number of bullpen arms to round out the final 4 innings today. The pitch. Fastball drilled deep to right field. Frederick is at the wall. He looks up. It's off the wall. Around first goes Page. The throw to second is not quite in time. Feet first slide for Page. Nets a leadoff double. Quad Cities is fortunate that one stayed in the yard. Page absolutely demolished it. That was a high inside fastball at 91, and he turned on it with an exit velocity of 110 miles per hour. That's the first hit of the series for Trey Page. He winds up with his second double of the year. And as you can see, the wind is blowing in from right field. So perhaps Mother Nature aiding a bit on that one. Either way, tying run for the Chiefs in scoring position, and Bryce Madren up. The pitch. Called strike, a changeup on the low outside corner. Like Page, Madren was a strikeout victim in his first AB. Quad City starter Felix Aranda got him swinging in the third. Molsky's 0-1. Inside and off the glove of Hernandez. It goes to the backstop, and Page moves up to third without a throw. It's going to be a wild pitch on Tommy Molsky, already his 5th of the season. We saw him struggle with his command in his season debut up at Dozier Park against these Chiefs on April 6th. Through 1 inning and 23 total pitches, and there were 3 wild ones in there. Tying run now 90 feet away for the Chiefs. Bandits infield comes in. 1-1. Madren pokes it foul over the left side and out of play for strike 2. Big time strikeout situation here for Tommy. He averaged 14.5 Ks per 9 innings last season when he wrapped up his college career at Oklahoma State. 1-2. Slider fouled off into the netting. Little check swing from Madren, and he was fortunate to get a piece of that. More activity in the River Bandits bullpen. Another righty is starting to get loose. That looks like Jesus Rios. 1-2. Down and in on the slider. Could not get him to chase. 2 balls, 2 strikes on Madren. 1-for-8 in this series with 4 strikeouts. 2-2. Again, fouled out of play. Good at bat from Madren. Well, the photo they're using on the video board of Bryce looks like it was taken many, many years ago. Madren totally clean shaven in that photo. He's got a beard today. 2-2. That's low, full count. Well, he's the newest member of this Chiefs roster. Transferred to Peoria back on the 21st before the series started.
trying to come through and tie the game here. Payoff pitch. Molsky missed inside. It's ball four. Back-to-back base runners to start the sixth inning for Peoria. And now men at the corners for the top of the lineup. And it looks like it will not be Tommy Molsky to face him. Acting Bandit skipper Kyle McKinnon is out of the third base dugout, and he will indicate for a right-hander. It's Jesus Rios who will jog in out of the bullpen. Molsky departs with a couple of strikeouts and a clean fifth inning, but he's responsible for the two Chiefs runners aboard in the top of the sixth. We're paused for a pitching change. 1-0 Quad Cities on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com. Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodman Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Jesus Rios is the new pitcher for Quad Cities. He comes in with runners at first and third and no one out in the top of the sixth, trying to keep the Bandits' 1-0 lead alive. He inherits two base runners. This season, Rios has inherited the second most base runners on the team. In his first five appearances out there, he's inherited six total runners, and he's allowed three of them to score. As a team, the Bandits have allowed 1/3 of their total inherited runners to score this season. So it'll be Trey Richardson, the leadoff hitter for Peoria, who needs a timeout. Or was it Omar Hernandez who asked for the timeout? Either way, the pitch clock resets, and Jesus goes to work. First pitch. Richardson takes a strike on the inner half. Little slider at 83. Richardson with long black hair spilling out of the back of his helmet. The pitch. Called strike, low outside corner. It's 0-2. Richardson is 0-for-1. He walked back in the fourth inning but was caught stealing second. Even a double play ball could score a tying run here. Page is at third. He doubled to start the inning. Madron walked. He's at first. Rios is 0-2. Breaking ball. Skied in the air. Shallow right field. I don't think this is deep enough. Frederick comes in. Kulasingham goes out. Second baseman makes the catch and fires it in towards the plate. And both runners have the hold. Nice work from Kulasingham to make the catch and quickly get that one in there. That's one of those where if Frederick catches it, Page is probably less interested in trying to tag than he would be with Kulasingham because Sam's momentum was going out towards right field. And normally, second basemen have a weaker arm than the right fielder, but Page was still not interested. So good start for Rios. One out on the board. Still men on the corners for Ryan Campos. First pitch grounded through the right side. A base hit. It'll tie the game. Page trots in from third, Patron's up to second. It's an RBI single for Ryan Campos. Make it 1-1. Second hit of the game for Campos. He picks up his fifth RBI of the season. And that run will be charged to Tommy Molsky. Well, Jesus got the ground ball he was looking for, but it was right into the 3.5 hole. Neither Moss nor Kulasingham had a play on it. So now Zach Levinson And he'll take ball one, down and in. 1-1 game in the top of the sixth. Chiefs have now scored 3 runs in their last 16 innings of offense. 1-0 pitch. Fouled out of play over the right side. It's 1-1. Quad Cities has scored 2 runs in its last 15 innings of offense. Yesterday, these two teams combined to go 1-for-20 with men in scoring position. And that's how you end up with a 2-1 final in 10 innings. 1-1. It's low for ball two. Today, the River Bandits are 1-for-4 with men in scoring position. And the Chiefs, after that hit, are 1-for-2. Levinson has not driven in a run this week. He's 0-for-1 with a walk in the 3 spot. Rios is 2-1. Fastball, outer half, a called strike two. Jesus has been really good for Quad Cities this year, although he's allowed more than half of base runners he's inherited to score. He's responsible for just 1 run allowed in 4 2/3 innings. He has a 1.93 ERA. 2-2 on the way. Check swing. Pitch is a called strike three. Doesn't matter. So Rios rings up Levinson with 95 down the middle. Couldn't pull the trigger there, and that's a key second out for Quad Cities. Rios has a nice live arm. The 23-year-old from Mazatlan, Mexico. Once a Padres farmhand, but traded along with former River Bandit Henry Williams to the Royals 2 years ago. Joshua Baez now the batter for Peoria. 2 on, 2 out. First pitch, swing and a miss. Back pick to second. They got him! Omar Hernandez teams up with Sam Kulasingham. They pick Bryce Madryn, the go-ahead run off of second base to end the inning. What a terrific series it has been for Omar Hernandez. More terrific defensive play from Quad City's backstops. We go to the bottom of the sixth. It's 1-1 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag road to royalty. Some more great Quad Cities defense helps limit the Chiefs in the top of the sixth. An RBI single from Ryan Campos does tie the game at 1, but Omar Hernandez picks the go-ahead runner, Bryce Madryn, off of second to help end the inning. Callan Moss will lead off the bottom of the sixth for Quad Cities, and he'll whiff through strike one, courtesy of right-hander Hunter Hayes, who's back out there for a second inning of work. Hayes with a couple of strikeouts in a perfect fifth. Moss 1-for-1 with an RBI single in the third. The pitch. Outer half, a called strike two. He is driven in. The only run for Quad Cities thus far. 1-out single plated Eric Torres in that third inning. And it was the only run allowed by Chief starter Darlene Saladin. 0-2. Tapped foul, had him reach in. And it rolls over by the third base rail. Hayes' curveball has looked really good. Floats it across at 82, and boy, does it change the balance of a hitter. Another 0-2 pitch. Check swing. Pitch was up and in. The appeal.
He went around. It's strike three, called by Alan Bryant. Field umpire down the first baseline says that Moss did not check his swing on a slider that was around the hands. So it's the third strikeout for Hayes, who's retired all four Bandits he's faced. And up comes Carter Frederick. Right on, right again. First pitch is chopped foul, and Kyle McKinnon wanted no piece of that down the third baseline. Bandits acting skipper started backpedaling immediately as that one came towards him. He had an error earlier this week, so maybe a bit timid now. Here's the 0-1. That's high. One ball, one strike. Frederick has a couple of strikeouts today, both swinging and both against Saladin. He is 3-for-13 in this series. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball, fouled into the netting. Frederick was a bit underneath it, and it's a ball and two strikes. No activity in either bullpen right now, so safe to assume that Jesus Rios, after helping Molsky finish the sixth, will go back out there to start his own inning. He's trying to make it 5 in a row, retired. The pitch. He does. Strike three, and again, he gives the Bandits fits on the breaking ball. Frederick tried to check his swing on a pitch down and away. He failed to do so, and now Hayes has struck out four of the five Bandits hitters he's faced. Frederick's got 3 Ks individually. And here's Carson Rockefert, who went down swinging in the third. Hayes is on a roll right now. First pitch, Rock shows bunt and pulls back. The pitch was inside. Hayes in his minor league career averages under a strikeout per inning. But he's got a season high today. 1-0. Low and outside, 2-0. Of course, if you follow Quad Cities this year, you know that the Bandits have had difficulties with the strikeout at times. 2-0. Wave and a miss. A good changeup. 2 balls and a strike. The Bandits have struck out 207 times this year, which is the second most in the Midwest League behind Dayton's 209, and the Dragons have played an extra ball game. The pitch. Breaking ball low. 3 balls, 1 strike. So if you're looking at it at a per-game basis, Quad Cities strikes out the most of any team in the league. Here's the pitch to Rockefert. That's low. Ball four. So after the string of strikeouts, Hayes loses one of the few lefties he's faced. And a 2-out walk will continue the inning for Austin Charles. Listening to Royals play-by-play guys, of course, Hall of Famer Denny Matthews and Jake Eisenberg. The other day they were talking about just how detrimental 2-out walks always seem to become as Austin Charles chases down and away for strike one. Always feels like leadoff walks and 2-out walks lead to issues. Let's see if the Bandits can create some for Hayes here. Tie game, 1-1 in the bottom of the sixth. Rockefert takes off. 0-1 is low. Throw to second from Campos is not in time. It's knocked down by Richardson. And Carson Rockefert's got his 8th stolen base of the year. That leads the team. That's the thing about Rockefert. He's struggled to get on base at times this year. He's leading Quad Cities with 27 strikeouts. But when he gets on, he is always a threat to do that. And he's not afraid to run in any count and with any amount of outs. 1-1 to Charles. Austin lines it, foul into the Bandits' bullpen. Just a bit in front on that swing. And it's 1-2. I don't know what was going on down there in the bullpen. Nate Ackenhausen doing some band work, and there were bodies flying all over the place as that one came careening in. Charles has been a bit unlucky today. Grounded out in the second inning. And then lined out sharply to short in the fourth. If he had got that ball 3 or 4 feet to either the left or the right of Villarroel, it probably would have been extra bases. Instead, a 1-2 count with 2 outs. The pitch.
High and away, two balls, two strikes. Quad Cities with four hits to Peoria's three. Chiefs have the game's only error. Out of the stretch, Hayes delivers. Lifted in the air, right field. Back goes Cho. Now straightening out towards the line. He makes a running catch and ends the inning with a chest-high grab. Now the wind pushing that one a little bit towards foul ground, but not enough. Cho tracks it down, and Quad Cities strands a man in scoring position. We're still tied at one, and off to the seventh on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Hi, this is CeCe Sabathia. Join me in upstate New York Hall of Fame weekend in Cooperstown and enjoy unforgettable experiences full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 25th through July 28th to welcome the entire Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2025. Visit baseballhall.org today for the full schedule. Look forward to seeing you in Cooperstown.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Top of the seventh inning at Modern Woodman Park. Kyle Kirchville with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with me on this Sunday afternoon. 1-1 game between Quad Cities and Peoria. Lots of good defense, lots of good pitching. Bandits threatened with a man in scoring position in the last half inning, but Hunter Hayes able to work out of it and complete a second scoreless inning out of the Peoria bullpen. Joshua Baez will bang the first pitch of the seventh, foul over by the Bandits bullpen, and it's back to work for Jesus Rios. Quad City's reliever has been solid. Scoreless inning under his belt. 0-1. Just low. That slider missed for ball one. It's Baez back at the plate after Bryce Madron was picked off of second to end the inning when he was at the plate. 1-1. Foul back, a ball and two strikes. So I guess a mulligan of sorts. But now Rios has him behind 1-2. Jesus is pitching with Quad Cities for the first time in his career. Spent most of last year in single A Columbia with the Fireflies. Time called. It's Baez who wants to pause. He's a native of Mazatlan, Mexico, 23 years old, born December 27, 2001. He's got almost as much experience pitching in the Mexican League as he does in the minor leagues. 1-2. Ooh, that looked pretty good, but it's high and away for ball two. That was 94 right at the top of the zone. And plate umpire Robert Bonet is telling Quad City's dugout to quit chirping at him. 2-2. Line drive over to second. Diving snag. Coolisingham. He shows it to Alan Bryan. And he says, yep, that's a catch. Out number one on a nifty play by the second lieutenant. Didn't exactly have to take flight there. But he needed to get as low to the ground as he did to make that catch. So put a star next to that one in your book. One out base is clear for Juan Bencho, who takes outside for ball one. Here's the replay on Bally Sports Live. Oh, man, just barely got the leather between the grass and the baseball. Sam had a really nice leaping catch in the game yesterday. That one, he hit the eject seat on. 1-0, another one to Kula Singham. Two quick hops up to him, but he's got it. And the throw to first is in time. Two away. So two very hard hit balls in Kula Singham's direction. That last one off Cho's bat at 110. Obviously, it slows down a bit when it hits the grass, but I don't care how many times the ball hits the ground. If it's 110 off the bat towards me, I'm getting out of the way. Here's Mikel Villarroel. He takes strike one. Shortstop has had a really good series for the Chiefs, but he's 0 for 2 with a double play ball and a strikeout this afternoon. Right on right, Rios out of the stretch. A long pause, now the pitch. Slider fouled into the catcher Hernandez. It's 0-2. And plate umpire Robert Bonet will give Omar a chance to shake it off. Both teams with activity in the bullpen. For Quad Cities, it's Nate Ackenhausen. And for Peoria, I believe that's Tanner Jacobson. As expected, lots of bullpen arms are going to cycle in through these last couple of innings. It's often the case in a series finale. Rios gunning for his second strikeout. 0-2. Just low. Really good spot for that pitch. Rios has been all over the strike zone. He has not missed badly, seemingly once today. 20 pitches, 14 strikes. Here comes the 1-2. Popped him up. First base side in foul ground. Hernandez and Moss range over and both run out of space as it lands in the sixth row and pops up towards the concourse. Did I miss another good catch? I think that one actually got over the concourse and up into the suite level. Yeah, look at that. Guy's got his peanuts. Here comes the girl out of the... popped out of the suite. Look what Dad's got. 1-2. That is just low. Another good pitch from Rios, but we'll do it again. Doesn't matter where you're seated at this ballpark. You can get a baseball. And to get one on the rebound in the suite level, that's as good as it gets. Rios tries again. Slider caught him looking. Strike three on the low inside corner. Another great frame for Jesus Rios. Two scoreless in the books, a couple of Ks, and two nice plays at second by Sam Pulisenga. Time to stretch on a Sunday afternoon in Davenport. It's 1-1 on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com. Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodman Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Home half of the seventh as his River Bandits and Tanner Jacobson's Peoria Chiefs are tied up at one. For Jacobson, he's in out of the Peoria bullpen for the second time this series. Right on right, first pitch to Werner is a strike on the inner half. Jacobson was dominant against Quad Cities on Thursday night, threw an inning and two-thirds scoreless and struck out three. A one runner shows bunt and pulls back on a called strike two. It was a slider on the outer half. And for a right-handed heavy lineup like Quad Cities, expect that slider a lot. It is one of the best breaking balls in the Midwest League, in my opinion. And the stats maybe back that up. Jacobson has thrown nine scoreless innings to start his season. 0-2 to Trevor. Fastball popped up sky high on the first base side. Catcher Campo sheds the mask. He's up near the screen, and it lands foul in the first row of seats. And that was... Oh, look at that guy. He did not make the catch. The ball hit him on the leg, and he didn't hesitate to toss it over to a youngster. That's taking one for the team right there. Werner is 1-for-2 with a double in the second and a strikeout in the fourth. Jacobson's two-strike pitch. Outside, again, that slider. One ball, two strikes. He takes over for Hunter Hayes, who was really good. A season-high four strikeouts and two scoreless innings. Gave up just one walk and no hits. Another two-strike toss from Jacobson. Werner fouls it off the sweets on the right side and down into the seating bowl. No special catches made that time. Canyon Brown waits on deck, and then it's the nine-hole hitter, Omar Hernandez. Long look in for Jacobson. Pitch clock down to one. Now he fires. Breaking ball is laced off the diving glove of Page. Werner's going to be safe at first with an infield single. Oh, man, Trey Page got the glove to it, but couldn't squeeze the baseball. It popped out somewhere between the point of contact and the ground. But had he not snagged that, or at least made contact with it, it would have been easy extra bases into the corner. Instead, it's a leadoff single, and that is your go-ahead base runner. That is the first hit given up by Tanner Jacobson this year, as Canyon Brown takes a strike. His nine-inning scoreless streak is the longest in the Midwest League. Of course, A.J. Causey had one of those up until last night. Werner hopping around at first as the 0-1 slider is chased low and outside for strike two. So Jacobson with the only active nine-inning scoreless streak, and of course he'll have by himself the best mark in the league when he gets the first out here in the bottom of the seventh. Brown had three hits yesterday, but is 0-for-2 with a pair of strikeouts today. Jacobson fires, check swing, pitch was outside. On the appeal, Alan Bryan says he did not go. It's one ball, two strikes on Canyon. Nate Ackenhausen continues to get loose in the River Bandits bullpen. Pretty safe to guess that he'll pitch the eighth once we get there. Jobert holds Werner at first base. Now a throw that way. And no tag. Trevor's back with a head first dive. Werner's been a sneaky good base stealer for Quad Cities these last couple of years. 4-for-4 to start 2025. Another throw over. Closer play, but Werner got back. Boy, Jacobson had some heat on that throw. Good quick tag from Jobert as well, but Werner beats him to the punch. 1-2. Werner takes off, and it's chopped foul into the Bandits dugout. One game in the bottom of the seventh inning. Quad Cities leads the way with five hits to Peoria's three. Bandits, though, have yet to get that one big hit. They're 1-for-5 with men in scoring position. And their one hit with men in scoring position was back in the third when Callan Moss gave them the 1-0 lead. Another 1-2. Werner doesn't go, and Brown takes a fastball high. Two balls, two strikes. Jacobson, 25 years old, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. 10th round pick of the Cardinals and 22 out of Queens University of Charlotte. This is his second season with the Chiefs. 2-2, there goes Werner. Pitch is high, throw to second from Campos. He's safe.
Richardson did not hold on to the baseball as Trevor slid in. Not sure if there was cleat on glove contact there. But for Werner, it's his fifth stolen base of the year, and he continues to get it done with the pilfer. Now time call by the catcher Campos. It's a 3-2 count on Canyon Brown. Here's a look at that stolen base on Bally Sports Live and MILB TV. Werner going first movement. And it was a head first dive into the second base bag. And I think there was a little bit of hand on glove contact, inadvertent. But it helped punch the ball out of Richardson's glove, kind of like a fumble in football. And you could see Trevor make sure he was okay. And the two exchanged some words and a smile. Campos is back behind the plate. Jacobson sets. 3-2 to Brown is sent foul over the first base side. Good battle here. Last year, Jacobson made 40 relief appearances for Peoria, posting a 4.08 ERA with 75 strikeouts in 64 innings. That's 10.5 per 9 innings. Go-ahead base runner in scoring position for Quad Cities. Another payoff pitch to Canyon Brown. Another foul ball that's lofted well over the Party Plaza and down by the river. This will be at least a 9-pitch battle between Brown and Jacobson. Canyon fell behind 0-2. And since then, he's taken 3 balls and fouled off 3 pitches. Another 3-2. Got him on strikes. Pulled that slider well out of the zone. And Brown couldn't help but chase. He slams his bat into the ground as he heads back to the dugout. A great battle for Canyon, but Jacobson eventually gets the best of him with that nasty bender. And now it's to Omar Hernandez, the 9-hole hitting catcher. He is also hitless entering this plate appearance. Still just one out, and Werner at second base, held by Richardson. And Jacobson throws back, and it's into center field. Werner's to his feet, but Levinson backed it up, and Werner stays put. The fans are imploring Werner to try to move up, but that was most definitely the smart decision. In a game like this, there is no need to try your luck. Just having a man in scoring position is more than either team has had throughout the majority of this game. It's almost like Jacobson hesitated on the throw over. He wasn't going to throw until he saw how far Werner was off the bag, and that's maybe why it was slightly inaccurate. Now the first pitch to Hernandez is inside for ball one. Here's the replay on Bally Sports Live. Richardson with a head-first dive to try to get to it. Fortunately, Levinson was Johnny on the spot. 1-0 pitch. Breaking ball, fouled up over the netting, out of play. The thing with Jacobson is, yeah, the slider is really, really good. But as a right-handed hitter, it's going to be used, at the very least, half the time against you, it seems. So you can almost sit on that. Just kind of foul away fastballs as you get them and hope that Jacobson eventually hangs one. The pitch. There's a slider at the top of the zone, a called strike two. And Omar did not pull the trigger there. One game in the bottom of the seventh. Werner at second after a leadoff single and a steal of second base. Jacobson looks his way. Now deals, and the slider is lined into left center field. The base hit. Werner up to third base. He gets a stop sign there. And that's exactly what I was talking about. Hernandez picks up his first hit of the game, his third of the series. And Jacobson tried to drift another one of those sliders across the top of the zone. And Hernandez was ready for it. He didn't hang it, but it was in the same spot as the previous slider. Hernandez recognized it and lined it into left center field. And now here's Will Hawks out of the first base dugout. Good piece of hitting from Omar Hernandez, who's hitting now 267 in 2025.
during this mound visit. Let's get you a look around the rest of the Midwest League as the Sunday games start to wind down. Just two finals for you, and those are both in the Eastern Division. Fort Wayne got a win over Lansing this week. 5-4, the final at Jackson Field. Tin Caps overcame a 4-3 deficit in the top of the ninth to win. And then in Dayton, West Michigan got a road victory against the Dragons, a 6-run eighth, helping propel them to a 9-4 win. Back in Quad Cities, runners at first and third with one out for Eric Torres, and he wastes no time. Base hit down the right field line. Werner scores. Hernandez stops at third base, and Eric Torres delivers a go-ahead RBI double. That's the second time today Torres has ambushed a pitcher on the first toss. A rare fastball from Jacobson was left middle in, and Torres goes the other way into right field. He's got his second hit of the game, his fifth hit of the series, and his fourth RBI in 2025. Tanner Jacobson had not given up a hit or a run before today. The Bandits have tagged him for three hits and one run with one out. Now Sam Coolisingham takes outside for ball one. I have loved the approaches from Quad Cities in this at-bat. Or in this inning, I should say. Coolisingham 1-for-3 with a single of his own back in the third. Now he takes a slider to right field. Cho makes the catch. Hernandez gets back to tag. He comes to the plate. The throw is in time. Campo supplies the tag, and it ends the inning. A one-hopper in from Juan Bin Cho. It was a bit up the line, but Hernandez was so late to tag that he was taken out about two-thirds of the way down the third baseline. So that'll do it in the seventh. Quad Cities, though, back in front thanks to Eric Torres. 2-1 QC. We're off to the eighth on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Hey, fans. Catch the excitement of minor league baseball with the Bally Sports Live app. Watch your favorite team or scout the top prospects. Every game live all season long.
Strike three. You're out.
Plus, stream the Savannah Bananas and emerging fight sports to keep the action going. Best of all, it's totally free. No credit card required. Download the Bally Sports Live app today on your phone or connected device.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Road to Royalty. Ackenhausen is the new pitcher for Quad Cities. He gets Braden Jobert to lead off the top of the eighth. He skies the first pitch to left field. Eric Torres makes the catch. And just like that, what a way to start the eighth inning. It's three straight lefties to face the southpaw Ackenhausen. This is a perfect use of that left-on-left matchup. Perhaps a bit serendipitous here in the world of minor league baseball. You don't really play matchups, but if Peoria is going to put three straight lefties at the bottom of the order, no better time to bring in Nasty Nate. Here's Trey Page. He rips one down the right field line. It's hooking and lands just foul behind the bullpen. Boy, Page has had some really nice swings today. He's not played a ton this week, but after striking out in the third, he ripped a double off the right field wall in the sixth. Just absolutely crushed it. And that swing right there was 108 off the bat, and the Bandits are fortunate that it was a foul ball. Jawilme Ramirez is starting to warm up in the Chiefs bullpen as Ackenhausen's 0-1 is breaking ball just inside. One ball, one strike. Well, he relieves Jesus Rios, who threw two scoreless innings out of the bullpen, picked up a couple of strikeouts along the way. 1-1. Rolled over to first base, again in foul ground, and it's into the bullpen. 2-1, the lead for Quad Cities in the seventh. They're back in front, courtesy of Eric Torres, who's 2-for-3 with an RBI single. Brought in Trevor Werner, who started the inning with a base hit. 1-2. Tapper foul to the first base dugout, right down the stairs. Well, Ackenhausen pitched just a couple of days ago. We saw him on the mound Thursday, and he lived up to his nickname. He threw an inning in a third of runless, hitless, walkless baseball. And all four outs he recorded were via the strikeout. Another 1-2 to Trey Page. Breaking ball is mashed foul into the first base bullpen. Jawilme Ramirez has got to be down there. Like, what did I ever do to you, man? Page is just a little bit early on these swings, but every single time he makes contact, it's well over 100 miles an hour. See if Nate tries to pull the string on him here. 1-2. It's a fastball and sent back into the netting. Page stays alive. That was a challenge me pitch right down the middle. Nate this year, 1-1 with an 8.53 ERA, but don't let that fool you. He has not given up a run in his last two outings. Here's the pitch. High and inside, 2-2. In fact, he's not given up a hit over his last 3 1/3, and he's got 7 strikeouts in there. It's his performance against Wisconsin on April 10th that's kind of ballooning the ERA. 2-2 pitch. Page skies it in the air to playable left field. Torres over to his right. Still drifting, but he gets there. Catch is made, and a couple of F7s provide outs 1 and 2 in the top of the 8th. So good at bat from Trey Page, but Ackenhausen gets him. And with 2 outs and the bases empty, here's that 3rd straight left-handed hitter in Bryce Madryn. Bryce with a strikeout in the 3rd and a walk in the 6th. He was the man picked off of 2nd to end that inning. Ackenhausen delivers. Fastball, a strike on the high inside corner. Nate, 23 years old from Tulsa, Oklahoma. 6'2", 240 pounds out of LSU. The pitch. Check swing. Pitch was down and away. The appeal. He went around. It's strike 2. Alan Bryan signals it from down the first baseline. And Ackenhausen is a pitch away from bringing the Bandits right back to the plate. There is more relief in the bullpen. Right-hander warming up down there in Juan Martinez. 0-2. Sat him down, strike 3. Fastball perfectly put on the low outside corner. And Nasty Nate cruises through another perfect inning. 1-2-3 go the Chiefs in the top half. Bandits to the plate in the bottom half. Ahead 2-1 on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931. But it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's 5 unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000. Quad City's looking for some insurance here in the bottom of the eighth. They lead Peoria 2-1, and it will be 3-4-5 to face a new Chiefs pitcher in the right-hander, Juwilmay Ramirez. Callan Moss, 1-for-2 with an RBI single, gets the frame going, and he'll take a curveball low and outside. Seventh outing of the year for Ramirez, his third of the season against Quad Cities, and his second this week. The pitch, down and away, 2-0. He faced Quad Cities back on Thursday. Pitched an inning and a third scoreless out of the bullpen. Picked up a couple of strikeouts and worked around a single walk. Juwilmay's 2-0. Moss crushes it high in the air, left center field and deep. Levinson into the alley, as is Madryn, and it's the center fielder Levinson who makes the catch for a loud out number one. That's the second or third time this week Moss has been just underneath one. That was 104 off the bat, a fastball middle in at 92. And he was just shy of a homer. So one out, base is empty for Carter Frederick. First pitch is shanked foul over the first base side. Carter's 0-for-3 with three strikeouts in the cleanup spot. His nine-game on-base streak is in a bit of jeopardy. Ramirez turns and fires. Fastball's there, a called strike two at 95. Juwilmay is a former Mets farmhand. 23-year-old comes out of the Dominican Republic. He's pitching in the Cardinals system for the first season. The pitch. Foul back. Frederick stays alive. Last year, Juwilmay pitched at three different levels in the Mets system, but was primarily in High A Brooklyn. 3.86 ERA and 26 appearances. 0-2. Pulled foul into the Bandits dugout. This year with the Chiefs, 1-1 with a 4.35. He has struggled with the walk this year and just base runners in general. 10 in the third innings pitch, 9 hits, 8 walks. Here's the 0-2. Got him swinging. Strike three and a pitch in the dirt. Frederick strikes out for the fourth time today. And there are two gone in the bottom of the eighth inning. Well, yesterday, Quad Cities failed to produce some support, or I should say some insurance, in the final frames of the game. And as a result, the Chiefs tied it up in the ninth inning and eventually won it in extras, 2-1. That's our score right now, but flipped. Carson Rockeford steps in and takes ball one. Rock, hitless in the ball game, but he drew a two-out walk in the third inning and stole second base, but never scored. The pitch. Breaking ball, taken for strike one. Right-hander still throwing in Quad City's bullpen. Again, Juan Martinez down there as Rockeford takes a strike. It's now 1-2 on the Bandit center fielder. And he'll step out with a brief TO. Austin Charles waits on deck, hoping for an opportunity. Ramirez trying to keep his team's deficit at just one. 1-2. Low and away, could not get him to chase, a changeup. And it's two balls, two strikes. Third baseman Page still cheating in on that left side. He's been doing that regardless of out, total, and count today against Rockeford. 2-2 is inside off the glove of Campos. When I heard the contact, I thought it may have hit Rockeford, but just the toe of the glove for the Chiefs catcher, and now the count goes full. Rockeford trying to find his way on with perhaps another two-out walk. Ramirez comes home, and it's inside for ball four. Close, but no cigar. So Rockeford has now been aboard twice in his four plate appearances, and Austin Charles will get an opportunity. AC is due for a hit, just some good luck in general. 0-for-3 today with that unfortunate line out in the fourth. One of his
better swings this week. Ramirez out of the stretch. Throws a breaking ball outside. It's 1-0. A crowd of 1,257 through the gates on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. The bench. Fastball's there. It's 1-1. Just a reminder, Quad Cities is on the road next week and the week after. 12 games split between Great Lakes and Lake County. Here's the 1-1. Wave and a miss. Got Charles chasing up the escalator. It's a ball and two strikes. So when you're looking to get tickets for some games in May, first home game for the Bandits will be May 13th. That's game one of six against the Dayton Dragons, an Eastern Division squad and the High A affiliate of the Reds. 1-2 pitch. Rockefeller takes off. Pitches outside. Throw to second from Campos. Got him. Richardson slaps the tag on Rockefeller as he slid in. Carson not happy with the call. He's arguing with Alan Bryan, who's asking him to stop. And now Kyle McKinnon will take over the conversation near the second base bag. Tag was on Rockefeller's backside as he slid in head first. And it's a caught stealing to end the inning. Kyle McKinnon is still lobbying, but Juan Martinez is out of the Quad Cities pen. He will pitch the top of the ninth and try to lock down a series win for the River Bandits. 2-1 River Bandits here in Modern Woman Park.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Road to Royalty. Bandits are 3 outs away from their fourth win this week and their second six-game series win of the season. It will be Juan Martinez to face the top third of Peoria's lineup in Trey Richardson, Ryan Campos, and Zach Levinson. This was the caught stealing on Carson Rockefeller, which ended the Bandits' threat in the bottom of the eighth. Both he and Kyle McKinnon voiced their displeasure with Alan Bryan, but of course, nothing changed. First pitch from Juan Martinez is in for strike one. Juan is going for his first River Bandits save. It would be his first as a professional since 2021 when he was in the Dominican Summer League. 0-1. That's high. One ball, one strike. He takes over for Nate Ackenhausen, who pitched a perfect eighth inning. Picked up a strikeout along the way as well. Richardson is hitless with a walk today. The pitch. Low and outside, ball two. Martinez has been another very solid piece in Jesus Asuaje's bullpen this year. In five appearances, he has given up just one earned run in 7 1/3 innings. Here's the 2-1. Swing and a miss. A hearty cut from Richardson, but it's tipped into the glove of Hernandez for strike two. The only run that Martinez allowed this year was against Peoria on Wednesday.
works out of the stretch. 2-2. Bounced one in the dirt. Couldn't get Richardson to chase, and the count goes full. The 24-year-old hails from San Salvador, El Salvador. He's been in the Royal system since 2018 when he signed as an international free agent. 3-2 pitch. Richardson skies it to right field, basically right at Carter Frederick. Takes a step in, makes the catch, and the leadoff man is retired here in the ninth. But for Peoria, they're looking for a ninth inning rally as they had yesterday. Bandits took a 1-0 lead to the final frame, and they tagged Shane Panzini and A.J. Causey for runs in the ninth and in the tenth to get the win. Here's Ryan Campos, right on left. First pitch. Strike one to the Chiefs catcher. Campos with Peoria's only multi-hit effort today. In fact, he's got two of the Chiefs' three total hits. 2-for-3 with a pair of singles and an RBI back in the sixth inning. 0-1. Low and outside on a changeup. 1-1. Looks like Quad Cities has somebody down in the bullpen kind of lightly getting loose. I think it's Tyler Davis who's trying to make himself available if need be. 1-1. Low and away. 2-1. Martinez is the fourth reliever used by the Bandits today. Starter Felix Aranda got to just 55 pitches and threw 4 scoreless innings, but I think the efforts today more so to get bullpen guys' arms than stretch out Aranda. 2-1. Popped him up, left side of the infield. Third baseman Trevor Werner chalks it in the partly cloudy skies. He's right behind the third base bag, and he makes the catch for out number 2. Quad Cities an out away from that fourth win of the week. They won a series up in Beloit last week. Took 3 out of 5 with game 6 suspended. They'll pick that up in May. Right on right, Zach Levinson the hitter, and he swings through a slider at strike one. Number 28 prospect in the Cardinals system is 0-for-2 with a walk back in the fourth. He is just 2-for-18 in this series. Martinez sets. Here's the pitch. Curveball just up and in. It's 1-1. I mentioned the Bandits are on the road for the next 2 weeks. For Peoria, they kick off a 2-week homestand, hosting Beloit and Wisconsin at Dozier Park. 1-1. Swing and a tip into Hernandez's glove. It's 1-2. And now Peoria is down to its last strike of the series. River Bandits fans trying to provide some energy to Martinez. Right-hander sets above the belt. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball down the left field line. It's going to hook foul into the Bandits bullpen. Chris Brito almost took one on the noggin down there. Levinson will step out and reset. Quad Cities is 4-for-7 in save opportunities this year. They blew one yesterday. 1-2 again. Foul tip off of the catcher Hernandez. He nearly held on. Instead, the at-bat continues for Levinson. Threw a little slider at him. Zach was able to get a piece of it. His back, though, against the ropes. Martinez delivers again. And it's tapped foul off the railing in front of the Bandits dugout. All the guys in there leaning up against the fence at the top of the stairs. They want to shake hands one more time this week. Send these Bandits fans home happy. 1-2 pitch on the way. Hit towards right center field. Rockeford into the alley. He's there. He's got it. Ball game over. A 1-2-3 ninth inning for Juan Martinez. He gets his first high A save. And Quad Cities wins the series against Peoria 4-2. 2-1 the final on a Sunday afternoon in Quad City. A pitcher's duel from start to finish, and if you want to try to pitch with the River Bandits, boy, you better bring your best stuff. Chiefs gave it their best effort today, but a 2-1 win is all the arms need. We'll go ahead and take a pause. When we come back, it's the River Bandits post-game show. We'll wrap up this series finale and the series in whole, and also tell you about what's coming up next week while visiting the rest of the Midwest League and the Kansas City Royals farm system. The Bandits, a Midwest League best, 14-6 after the win today. They are back-to-back series winners, and that's a great way to end their final homestand here in the month of April. River Bandits postgame shows coming your way next on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com. Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodman Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. For the final time today and for the final time this week, we welcome you back to Modern Woodman Park in downtown Davenport. Kyle Kirchival with you for the River Bandits postgame show. Your final score today, River Bandits 2, Chiefs 1. And as a result, the Bandits take 4 of their 6 games against Peoria this week. They are winners of back-to-back series. Here's what the line score looked like. For the Chiefs, it's a run on 3 hits and 1 error. They finished the ball game 1-for-4 with men in scoring position, and they stranded 2 on base. For the River Bandits, 2 runs on 7 hits and no errors, 3-for-9 with men in scoring position. They strand 6. The winning pitcher, picking up his first River Bandits win, is Jesus Rios. He goes 2 scoreless innings, gives up just 1 hit, doesn't walk anybody, and strikes out 2. He is charged with a blown save, as he inherited what would become the game-tying run in the top of the 6th inning, but no runs charged to him. So Rios' ERA stays at a crispy 1.35. The loss goes to Peoria's bullpen and Tanner Jacobson specifically, who had entered the ballgame today having not allowed a run or a hit in his first 9 innings of action. But today the Bandits tag him for 1 run and 3 hits with no walks and a strikeout. He falls to 0-1.
Nate Ackenhausen gets a hold, pitching a perfect scoreless eighth inning. And in the ninth, it was Juan Martinez getting his first stateside save, his first save as a professional since all the way back in 2021. He pitched no strikeouts in the ninth inning, but got three consecutive outs to nail down the S. As far as the starting pitching matchup, it was another good one. Both guys top 20 prospects in their respective systems, but it was Aronde just a little bit better. He pitched four scoreless innings, worked around a hit and three walks while striking out three. For Peoria, it was Darlene Saladin who went four innings of one-run ball and gave up four hits with two walks and a game-high six strikeouts. Hunter Hayes was great in immediate relief of him. He picked up four strikeouts in a scoreless sixth and seventh innings. And then it was Jawilme Ramirez pitching a scoreless bottom of the eighth. For Quad Cities, Tommy Molsky gave up a run in one frame of relief in the fifth. And as I mentioned, Rios Ackenhausen and Juan Martinez combined for four scoreless to close out the ball game. The final time of the game today, 2 hours and 16 minutes, with 1,257 through the gates here at Modern Woodman Park. The Bandits were led offensively by Callan Moss and Eric Torres. It was Moss for the third time in four games, giving the Bandits the lead. Today it was an RBI single in the third inning to plate an Eric Torres walk. Peoria tied the game in the top of the sixth inning on Ryan Campos' RBI single, but the Bandits would quickly retake the lead in the bottom of the seventh. Eric Torres picked up his second hit of the game, an RBI single to score Trevor Werner and give the Bandits their eventual 2-1 victory. Let's get one more look at the Midwest League scoreboard, where most of the games have wrapped up with the exception of the contests in Cedar Rapids and South Bend. Over at Veterans Memorial Stadium, it's the Colonels with a 6-1 lead over Wisconsin. They're in the bottom of the eighth there. And then at Four Winds Field in South Bend, Beloit leads the Cubs 4-3. As far as the finals go, a barn burner in Lake County, but Great Lakes took down the Captains 12-11, despite the Captains scoring six runs in the bottom of the ninth to get within one tally. Great Lakes able to hold on for its 11th win of the year. Lake County falls to 12-9. Over in Dayton, the West Michigan Whitecaps join the River Bandits in the 14-win club. They're 4-7, defeating the Dragons today 9-3. At Jackson Field in Lansing, the Lugnuts fell to Fort Wayne 5-4. And, of course, here in Quad Cities, the Bandits with a 2-1 win over Peoria. As far as action in the Kansas City Royals farm system goes, well, for AA Northwest Arkansas, it was a quasi-doubleheader today. They had to complete the game that started yesterday but got suspended due to rain. And in that game's completion earlier this afternoon, Northwest Arkansas got a 5-3 win. Game two started not too long ago. It's a seven-inning game between the Naturals and the Drillers. And right now, NWA up 2-1 in the top of the third. AAA Omaha is in the ninth inning against Toledo, and the Mudhens are an out away from shutting out the Chasers altogether. It's 2-0 over in Ohio. And for Columbia, the single-A squad, they'll get started against the Carolina Mudcats at 4:05 Central over at Segra Park. Those two teams have been two of the best in the Carolina League to open up the season. Next week for Quad Cities, it's a two-week road trip that starts in Midland, Michigan. The Bandits will play six games against the Great Lakes Loons, the Los Angeles Dodgers affiliate. They'll be there from April 29th to May 4th. They're off on Monday the 5th, and then it's over to Eastlake, Ohio, the home of the Lake County Captains, the Guardians High A affiliate. The Bandits will play them at Classic Auto Group Park from May 6th to May 11th before coming back to Quad Cities for their first homestand of May, a six-game series against the Dayton Dragons scheduled from May 13th to May 18th. So make sure you go to riverbandits.com or stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office to not only check out the promotional schedule for those upcoming games, but also to get your tickets and to book your group areas. It, of course, is opening May that week against Dayton, which means the rides will reopen at Modern Woodman Park, and as far as I'm concerned, that's the official start of summer. What a terrific end of the week for the Bandits this week. They take down the Chiefs in four of six games. They're 2-1 winners today to lock up the series win. They're now 14-6 to lead the Midwest League West Division. They are 7-5 at home,
For Peoria, they dropped to a league low 6-14. They are 4-8 on the road. And like I said, start a two-week homestand next week with six games against Beloit and then six games against Wisconsin. That'll do it for our broadcast today and all of our broadcasts this week. On behalf of our entire production staff, I'm Kyle Kercheval, and also a thanks from Justin Hodge, our producer. We really appreciate you tuning in throughout the game today and throughout this week, and we hope you join us on the road as the Bandits take on a couple of Eastern Division foes. Always fun to take visits to Dow Diamond and Classic Auto Group Park. We'll have all 12 games for you right here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Until then, have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and we'll see you in Midland on Tuesday in Michigan. So long from the Quad.